In 1793, Philadelphia was the nation's capital. Lawmakers were writing laws, seamen unloaded ships on bustling docks, tanners turned animal hides into leather. But Philadelphia was also something else. Mike, and I hear Philadelphia was really gross in 1793.
It was. There was no plumbing, no sewage system. There was waste from humans. There was trash. There was animal manure. It just stunk.
Then the country's first big disease outbreak hit the city, the yellow fever epidemic. But while the filthy conditions didn't cause yellow fever, the epidemic actually led to a cleanup of the city and eventually to modern public health. Why did that happen? I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Why. Mike and Scott is host of WHYY's The Pulse. She recently produced an audio walking tour about the yellow fever epidemic. In the summer of 1793, people started to get sick and die. What was happening?
The summer was a really hot summer, and people started coming down with these symptoms that seemed like we would call it a flu now.
Mm-hmm.
Fever, headache, muscle pain. And then for some of them, within a few days, it would get much worse. Their eyes would turn yellow. They would vomit blood. They had blood in the stool.
How many people were getting sick?
In the beginning, it was just like a couple here, a couple there. The prominent physician at the time, Dr. Benjamin Rush, at first thought, maybe this is just a normal case of, you know, this disease that comes this time of year. But he quickly recognized, no, this is way more. There's something much worse going on here. And then he realized this is yellow fever.
You know, this was the capital of this young country. George Washington was the president. And when this outbreak happened, he kind of got out of Dodge, didn't he?
I mean, America was still very new. This was the first big epidemic to hit this country. And, you know, something like this could really, really disrupt everything. So they moved the government. But within the city, there were really no structures, no official structures for people to deal with this epidemic. It was sort of like just survive, cope, do the best you can. Those who could left, and they left quickly. Even a lot of the physicians in the city got out. And those who remained were either not able to leave or they stayed deliberately to help out with the crisis. And Philadelphia at the time had several newspapers and they started to cover this epidemic and different doctors had different approaches and everybody tried to get their approach printed in the newspaper. So information was definitely circulating, but there was no official setup to help people really navigate this epidemic.
So who treated people? How were people getting care?
Benjamin Rush was one of the physicians who stayed in Philadelphia as the epidemic raged, and he was very dedicated to treating people. He treated anybody, everybody, regardless of income, race, anything like that. He worked around the clock, and so did many other physicians. But there was sort of a fight over how aggressively you should treat yellow fever.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a new biography about Rush, which is called Rush, and it's by Stephen Freed. He's a Philadelphia writer. And he told me about these different treatments that doctors were trying.
The lighter treatment of diseases, there weren't that many choices. There was laudanum, there was purgatives.
Giving people mercury, basically, so you would vomit and, have things leave your body.
There was cold baths and hot baths. There was wine, which was considered a medicine, and there was bloodletting.
So Rush was a huge believer in bleeding, which was a really popular practice at the time. So
what do you mean bleeding?
Like opening up and just letting blood escape the body. And
oh,
lots
like opening
of
up a vein or yes, something.
Yes, and then just letting the blood come out.
What was very clear to everybody was that a certain high percentage of patients were dying no matter what you did.
I mean, some people say that Rush did more harm than good. I think he was a comfort to people just because he would come and he would try to take care of you. But that did not help anybody.
When we come back...
The yellow fever epidemic obviously grips the city with fear. And one of the big misconceptions from the beginning is that black people are immune.
This is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall. We're talking to Mike and Scott, host of WHYY's The Pulse, about the yellow fever epidemic that swept through Philadelphia over 200 years ago. So, Mike, and the epidemic starts in August, and it gets totally worse by October. So how does this all play out?
Yeah, October was the worst month in terms of mortalities. Overall, about 5,000 people died in Philadelphia. This was a city of 50,000, and many thousands had left. So it's a big right. chunk of the population. And there was an effort to just get people, get the corpses, get them buried. There were mass graves. Benjamin Rush and other doctors were all over the city trying to treat people. Rush himself got yellow fever. And, you know, people were just paranoid. They were scared and they thought, you know, are your eyes yellow? Are my eyes yellow? Am I getting this? What is going on? At the time, this is something Stephen Fried mentioned to me. At the time, people thought that diseases were spread perhaps through bad smells.
People thought smoking would help them keep disease away. And they rub themselves with garlic. And one of my favorites was they would soak a rope in tar and then put it around their necks.
Just imagine the city sort of being cloaked in smoke and death is everywhere. Yeah, it was very, very, very scary.
So in the middle of this crisis, Benjamin Rush calls on the African-American community. So what happens?
Benjamin Rush was very closely connected to two leading figures in the free African-American community mm-hmm. in Philadelphia, Richard Allen and Absalom Jones. And at the time, Rush and many other people in the medical community believed that African Americans were immune to yellow fever. Hmm. This was based on observation during a prior outbreak. So Rush had been in close touch with Jones and Allen, and he said to them, "Would you be willing to help the rest of the population?" So they rallied their troops and started caring for the sick, following the Rush protocol of bleeding and purging, taking the dead, nursing the sick. And then quickly everybody realized, oh, they are not immune.
Because they started dying.
Yes, they started getting sick.
African Americans.
Yes, they started getting sick. They started dying. We went to visit Mother Bethel AME, which is the church that Richard Allen went to found later yeah. on. And the reverend there, Mark Tyler, told us about sort of how this played out.
Once they realized that, you know, black people are dying at the same rate and that they're not immune, that does not stop them from helping. And they stay in the city and they still help to their own peril.
Afterwards, Richard Allen and Absalom Jones wrote about this. They published a pamphlet to describe this role that they played.
They write, "We feel a great satisfaction in believing that we have been useful to the sick and thus publicly thank Dr. Rush for enabling us to be so."
So, Mike, and did they ever figure out the cause of yellow fever?
They did, but it took a long time. So when yellow fever broke out in 1793, Many people thought it was because of all the trash in the city and mm-hmm. the stench. Other people said, no, this is coming from elsewhere. We have lots of refugees coming in from Haiti right now, so that's the cause, mm-hmm. right? So those were sort of the dueling camps. Mm-hmm. Many, many, many decades later, scientists realize that it was mosquitoes that spread the disease. The Aedes aegypti mosquitoes, which came here from much warmer climates, they were excellent at living in Philly because Philly was filled with these little puddles of water right. where they bred. But one thing,
and it was really hot that summer.
Yes, it was really hot. But one thing they cannot do is survive the cold. So when it got cold, it killed the mosquitoes and thus it killed sort of the transmission vehicle for the virus. Mm. And then the epidemic slowed down and eventually ended. But again, they had no idea yeah. that this is what they were dealing with. That came much later.
At the end of 1793, you know, our brand new country, we just came off the throes of this epidemic. Did the country learn anything from this?
They did. Many people call this the beginning of public health.
The city finally began to create an infrastructure to deal with public health threats like yellow fever.
Michael Udell, the public health historian I collaborated with to create this walking tour, he explained to me sort of what happened next. There were a bunch of things that the city did and that then spread to the country.
The Philadelphia Lazaretto, a quarantine station for ships entering our port, opened in 1801. Philadelphia's water supply would also see important improvements.
It became clear that the city had to do more to clean up, you know, the waste, the trash, yeah. the stench. So,
because, Mike, and even though we know now that yellow fever wasn't the stench and the trash wasn't the cause of it, it sure could lead to other sicknesses.
Exactly. It could lead to all kinds of problems. And even though they weren't sure exactly what, I guess they realized, okay, this is not good.
Yeah.
No matter what the exact problem is, this is not good. So there was a board of health that was created. And from there, you know, the sort of mission and the idea of public health that governments have a responsibility to ensure the health of their citizens and that there need to be processes and there should be tests like, is this water safe? Is this ground safe? Is this building safe? So from this moment on, public health really grew exponentially in this country. So it's far more than just like preventing the spread of deadly diseases. It really takes a more comprehensive look at our health and what it means to be a healthy city or country.
Well, Mike, and thank you so much for coming in and telling us about this really important piece of health history.
Thank you so much.
Mike and Scott is host of WHYY's The Pulse. She teamed up with public health historian Michael Udell of Drexel University to create an audio walking tour about the yellow fever epidemic in Philadelphia's Old City. You can find it at whyy.org/yellowfever. The Y is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Binyakov, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen, under the editorial direction of Katie Culinary. Our intern is Jade Chandler. Tweet me at AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.